Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Founder Story. Today we have Brian Lay, Y Combinator alum. That's amazing. I got to know about that. Founder and CEO of Need. We're going to dive in all things about is college even a thing anymore if you want to be an entrepreneur? Is it useful? How about Y Combinator? Is that even needed? We're going to hear from Brian today. But Need is a company dedicated to providing innovative convenience stores for college students. What a problem you are solving, Brian. So let's go back. Why did you even think this was a thing? And what was the spark that made you say you want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, definitely. So I've had an engineering background growing up. My family was all electrical engineers. So ever since I was growing up, I always thought I was going to go all the way through grad school, PhD, and go into a career in either like professorship or something deep in the technical field. That's what my immigrant family loves to push on all of us. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that taught me how to solve problems, you know? And I think growing up, I felt very different from my family because I didn't really align with kind of following a path that wasn't really me. There was something off about it, you know? So kind of the going off and doing my own thing, trailblazing, learning on my own, going on my own endeavors, that was far more attractive to me. But since I grew up not around that world, I never really understood how to kind of go about that. So I think I found my way into entrepreneurship, honestly, by accident. And to the idea of convenience delivery was around the time when Bird Scooters launched at UCLA. And so I kind of put two and two together and realized that there was a need for just, you know, random things like caffeine or energy drinks or just a quick sandwich. But it's often very inconvenient to go to the store. Even if a convenience store is on campus or down the street, you're busy studying. And you're often late to class because you have to walk from your dorm or walk to your from your apartment all the way to campus. But when these Bird Scooters landed, it made it far easier to just, you know, be in the middle of something. Oh, realize that it's time to go to class. You can get to class in just 5 minutes. Or you just roll out of bed at 7:50 a.m. for an 8 a.m. class. You're there right on time for your quiz. And so I think realizing that need where, say, you're making dinner and you forget an ingredient, being able to use these micro-mobile vehicles to get something relatively close by in a large campus population, high density, you're able to leverage these economies of scale on a very, like, you think economies of scale big, right? But you can apply that in such a small area and it becomes a very interesting problem because it's a small scale version of a problem that feels a lot more approachable. And so that's how I felt, or that's how I kind of broke into this, honestly, by accident. Because it wasn't something I even thought of as I was growing up, but kind of I was attuned to with the engineering brain that I did grow up with.
I think we hear a lot from people that they weren't like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a business owner like yourself. They find something that they need to solve and they end up solving it. And that's like the accidental entrepreneur. It seems like there is a need for Need. Now I understand why you've probably named it Need. I'm guessing that's why. A lot of people, they have ideas. They think of, you know, something needs to be solved, but they never take action on it. So what do you think for you gave you the motivation to say, okay, I'm gonna move forward with this. I'm actually going to solve it.
I think this comes with my kind of first experience with it, at least to now. And I think having built up this technical experience and kind of playing around when I was in college with this idea of fast delivery and it being this cool factor, it was very somehow is very popular around, the big social groups on campus, like Greek life or culture clubs or dance clubs. And I think a lot to do with it was the fact that, you know, you often have to pay to ride these scooters. But it's flipped in this scenario where as a student, you get paid to ride scooters. You get paid to have fun. And so I think this allure to it and kind of how it kind of reels people in that way is why it kind of brought me in and kind of lured my interest, if you will.
So let's go back to Y Combinator. I've never experienced it. I've heard some people that love it. I've heard other people's opinions on it. I'm not sure if they even were in it. I did just have an opinion about it. And, the founder, I love listening to them on their show, though, talking about a lot of great things. And a lot of amazing companies have come out of it. So how is the experience for you going through it? And do you see this as something that others need to do in order to help them be successful, especially at, a younger age, maybe someone in their 20s?
Yeah, I think it's perfect for someone in their early to mid to late 20s, especially someone new to the idea of entrepreneurship. I will say for us, it was completely accidental. I think we kind of didn't have a high bar for to reach. And so we kind of saw Startup UCLA, which is UCLA's incubator program that happens over the summer, very similar, but far smaller scale. When we just learned about Y Combinator off a YouTube video, and it reeled us in because there was like all the big, like all the top startups that you hear about these days, like DoorDash, Reddit, Stripe, Airbnb, they're all from Y Combinator, Twitch as well. And it kind of reeled us in, and we just thought, we're young. Why not give it a shot? And then one day we just get in an invite for an interview. We did our best to prepare. And somehow we stumbled upon the most famous startup accelerator in the world with, top founders as group partners, as advisors to help us pitch to the top investors of Silicon Valley. And I think just being thrust into that world of venture capital, into entrepreneurship, into something that felt very legitimate, was very valuable for us as young founders. And I think it's something I definitely recommend to anyone starting out or even anyone not familiar with the startup world and how to think about founding startups. That's where we got a lot of value from it.
So can you teach me what is one or two ways? I've never personally raised money, but I would like to. So somebody like myself who's watching this and thinking, I want to pitch, but there's so much noise about what to do, what not to do. So based on the learnings that you had, and you've had the experience of, like you said, some of the best venture capitalists to some of the best entrepreneurs in the world, what is one or two things that you took away that other people can leverage and use in order to either give the best pitch, craft the best pitch, but in the end, raise money?
Yeah, for sure. It all comes down to the sales pitch. I think that's the best way to break it down. And I think that's a pretty different framework, especially coming from engineering. You're always thinking about problem solving. Now, that is good, but I don't think that is what makes the entire pitch. A good pitch is you're selling, essentially what a pitch is, you're trying to sell a piece of your company to people who will back you and people who will support you and give you money to run. And for that to happen, you need to sell them your company. And so that comes with being able to tell a story, to invoke emotion, to kind of put them in the frame, play out what their life is like backing this company. And so I think that kind of involvement, that kind of emotional tie-in, especially in the beginning, and most importantly, I would say, is conviction in knowing how to do it and knowing how to call the shots, not only now, but all the way to 5, 10 years from now. I think that's what carries an early pitch. just starting at a company.
So let's evoke some emotions. Let's go back, you know, almost five years ago that you went through that. Now you're on the second company that you have. Did you ever have a point where you're like, I just want to give up?
Yeah. I think for us, it was a very interesting time because we were the last batch before COVID hit. And as you know, when COVID hit and when the stay-at-home order went out, all of the colleges that we had launched at for our company had shut down and they sent all their kids home. So our entire source of revenue, our entire business went down to zero. And for a time, we had no idea what to do. We were in the middle of fundraising too. And so it almost was like, it was very easy to just give up. But we still had a lot of conviction in what the product could mean. And being able, and a downturn like that is a perfect opportunity to capitalize and gain footing. I think for us, when we were running with the company going into 2020, especially as young founders, there's a lot that we felt that we didn't know and a lot that we felt that we needed to figure out to be able to call the shots well. And so the way I see the whole pandemic, as unfortunate as it is, in terms for the business, it was a unique opportunity because the world slowed down for us to catch up to our learning and to build out more the foundation of what became our technology.
I guess there's a silver lining, right? It's yep. just, can you find the silver lining versus the stress and pressure, you know, and the thought of everything just coming? But you did it, you know, you did it, and many people probably could not do that. We had a recent founder on who had exited for $1 billion. I had asked him, if you know, knowing what you know now, that question that I'm sure you've heard, would you, you know, what would you do differently? Where'd you do it? He said, if he knew what he knew now, he probably would have never had done the company, because knowing all the crap that he was going to have to go through. So it's great when he started when he was young and he didn't have expectations about getting sued and all these things that were going to happen. And I found that very interesting. So how do you see it when it comes to, you know, founders like yourself who are early on in their maybe late, you know, 18, 19 or in their 20s, who haven't really gone through a lot of things, who aren't discouraged by a lot of things or traumatized by a lot of business stuff, that they're just ready to go. They're super excited. How do you feel about that?
No, I think that's a huge value to being young. And I think that gives more value to the saying bliss or ignorance is bliss. And I think just having that ambition, an almost blind ambition, is such a superpower at that age, because it would allow you to go very far. And that's only because you don't know the things. And I think that's why you hear a lot of people in their late 20s and their early 30s into their 40s think about the time of their 20s like, oh, I can never do that again, especially coming into these responsibilities. And I, like, even for me, when I imagine I would get to that point as well, which is why, like, me as still in my mid-20s, I think, especially since this world still captivates me in such a way that gives me a lot of meaning and a lot of purpose and honestly, a huge fuel for my passion. It drives me to continue taking these chances, even though I think on the surface, it's just putting so much on the line. But I think I look past that and I just see the opportunity at the end. And I think one way to frame it is, like, it would be kind of stupid not to see the other side. But I think that's where the saying comes, Delulu is the Salulu. And I think, honestly, a lot of that mentality is how you even get past the hard times. Even when you're aware of when times get tough, just being delusional about the future that you envision is what I think would take you to success. And that's honestly what I'm banking on this second time around.
I'm going to quote you on that. Being Delulu is the way to go as an entrepreneur in their 20s. That it makes total sense. If you talk to someone who's in their 20s, or you talk to someone who might be in their 50s, sometimes the older they are, they get very negative. And it's hard not to get negative, where someone who's younger, they're very positive and their outlook is very positive. And so I'm enjoying being able to talk to you, and I feel your positivity and the fact that you have so much motivation, that it's very inspiring to other people at any age. So when you look at what success is going to mean to you in 10, 20 years from now, what do you see?
Yeah, definitely. I think a huge thing for me is being able to build a community of people who can uplift each other by being positive. And I like how you mentioned this air of positivity, especially around young people. And I think a lot of it does come with just that passion, that wanting to change the world. And I feel like a lot of what we're seeing in today's world, and how things are becoming more expensive and more unreachable, there's almost this hesitation, but still a very strong desire to make an impact in the world and make a huge difference. And so that's where I think, on a much broader scale, what I'd like to do with my company here. Like, yes, we're providing convenience for college students, but for me, I think a lot more broadly. I want what the company is doing on many aspects is serving the community. Most simply, we're serving our community of students, young people. We aim to hire an entire workforce of students who service these stores, providing these job opportunities that are not your standard service job, where it's all boring and you're on your feet all day. Now, funny enough, as a racer, as a meet racer, you would be on your feet all day, but you're going all around campus, you're seeing all your friends, you're riding scooters, and you're getting paid much more than you would if you were just doing work study, or you're working at a coffee shop, or bussing at a restaurant. It's much more attractive. And I think on the broader scale, how we're approaching this on a franchisee model, we're not at least starting out and for many years at a time, I'd like to focus our franchisee profile on new grads, people who kind of have an itch, having studied business or econ, communication, entrepreneurship, marketing, and have this itch to get their hands dirty on something real, something that you can get involved in all kinds of aspects, like your finances, accounting, hiring and managing people, dealing with inventory. All of this with a brick and mortar store, I think, is what people imagine as something real. And why I emphasize real is, while, say, a drop shipping brand may seem attractive because of all the money you're raking in, the reality is it's so saturated, and you're in front of your computer all day just making assets for all your advertisements and just thinking about how you can differentiate yourself out of all the other people trying to dropship as well. And there's not, and being in front of the screen like that, you can't compare that activity with just being on the ground and serving the community in front of you. And so I'm a big proponent of community. And I think a huge way that I want to kind of cultivate this community is to invest in young people, just like how we bet on our young selves back in the day, and how I still bet on myself as someone still young.
Hey, that's noble. You know who your customer is, and you also want to have, basically your customer could also be your best employees, which could also be your franchisee, and bring it to other colleges. It's like creating its own economy in itself.
That's right.
I'm curious about your take on the benefits of college when it comes to entrepreneurship. One of my favorite commencement speeches was Steve Jobs, which he didn't go to college, but he attended college. I personally dropped out, and then I did go back much later on. But I'm curious on your perspective, did it help? Did it not help? Is it needed? Are these entrepreneurship courses even a benefit?
That's a great question. And I will also say that I also dropped out for a time. I didn't go back much later. It was only a 2-year delay for me. But I think the value of college is, especially if you want to explore this world, it's not so much on the education. You can always read about entrepreneurship, starting a business, what's important. But you gain a lot more experience and a lot more nuance when you're actually on the ground getting your hands.
One of the best things I've ever done for my personal growth was picking up a new language. Whether you're traveling, leveling up your career, or just love learning, speaking another language opens up many doors. And Rosetta Stone makes it easier, more immersive, more fun. It's the leading language learning program available right on your desktop or mobile. Rosetta Stone helps you learn naturally, just like you picked up your first language, through real-world context and conversation. Just practical skills you can use right away. What I love most is the true accent speech recognition. It gives you real-time feedback so your pronunciation actually sounds like a native speaker. With 30 years experience, millions of learners in 25 languages to choose from, like Spanish, also Tagalog, which I'm learning. Rosetta Stone is the go-to for anyone serious about learning fast and retaining it long-term. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Founder Story listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. When you realize you need to hire, it's usually already too late. I've been there, wasting weeks waiting for decent candidates. If I had used Indeed, I could have hired way faster. So when it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed, it makes hiring fast because it puts you right in front of the right people without wasting time. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts. You only pay for results. And while I've been talking, 23 hires were made on Indeed worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/founders story. Just go to Indeed.com/founders story right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/founders story. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. Starting your business should be simple. That's why I love what Northwest Registered Agent is doing. You can build your entire business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Seriously, whether you're launching your first company or your fifth, you get more when you start with Northwest. More privacy, more guidance, and more freedom to run your business from anywhere. They've helped businesses grow for nearly 30 years, and they've got your back. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will form your business, create a custom website, and set up a local presence anywhere you need it. Want more? They'll protect your identity by using their address on your formation documents, and their premium mail forwarding gives you a real business address that keeps your home info private, which I have used this service for many years. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and set up your business in just 10 clicks in 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/founders and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/founders.
It's dirty. And so a lot of these opportunities that college provides with these, with campus orgs, with entrepreneurship fraternities, with startup accelerators, I think that, especially if you want to go into this world, is more than enough value to go to college. And I think in this day and age when college is super expensive, it's finding or where you feel the most fit in the community of people. Because that, in my opinion, is the value of college, is finding your circle, finding who you are, what you value, finding similar people to you to cultivate those values, those perspectives, and figure out who you are and how you want to change the world. So to sum it up, I am a big supporter of college, but not in the traditional way, I would say. I mean, it is a large reason why I came back.
Hey, if it wasn't for college, you wouldn't have the company. So you're servicing. I mean, I like that. There's different ways you can benefit from something versus just saying getting an education, right? And what comes about, you know, from that education. So my final question is this. AI, we know, you know, I've read some stats. AI could, you know, take away 1 million jobs. I personally think maybe 1 billion people won't have a job in the future. We don't know, right? Someone like yourself, I know you're an entrepreneur right now, but I'm very curious about what do people in their 20s think about AI in general right now, but then also knowing that 5, 10, 20 years down the line, our lives might be completely different. How do you look at that when it comes to the how far advancing AI is right now?
Yeah, I think my opinion on AI is that it's a tool. I think it's hard to do an apples to apples comparison. I think what I, having not been from the 80s, I kind of imagine it to be like a graphing calculator or like a computer or a cell phone, how it impacted the world back then. I think there's some sort of equivalence there. And the reason why I bring that up is I see it more as a tool to uplift humanity, to uplift our abilities, and to allow us to focus on things that will continue impacting the world versus something that would replace us. So I think the people who are doing the most interesting things with AI are the ones who kind of align with that as well and not innovate on things that are aiming to replace people, but instead aiming to empower people. And I think that a lot of it has to do with my align with community and empowering the community. And that's how, at least, the company that I'm founding is not an AI company, but with the AI revolution that we're in the middle, I'm very much using AI to help further and more intelligently go about the business as a tool, as a consultant, as a learning, as a means to learn more quickly. That's how I see AI.
Well, Brian, something I took away from this is I need to be more positive. I really like the way you think. And I think sometimes we forget that over time that we need to remain positive, having a positive outlook, seeing good things can come, seeing all the things that you can do positively to impact people, community, all these things. So thank you for reminding me of that. If people want to get in touch with you, I know you have a crowdfunding campaign going right now. And people want to check that out. How can they do so?
Yeah. So we have a crowdfunding campaign open at www.wefunder.com/need, N-E-E-D. And if people want to get in touch with me, whether that's it, just to ask any questions about my entrepreneurship journey, advice, or anything to do with engineering, they can reach me at ble@needwestwood.com, needwestwood.com.
Well, Brian, this has been great. I super appreciate it. Future unicorn founder right here. Don't forget about us when you hit that or when you hit the $1 trillion mark. Think back and say, I remember when I talked about it on Founder Story, because we're going to remember that. So, Brian, thanks again for joining us today and congrats on the success so far.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
Are you looking for legit ways to make extra money? Our friends at The Side Hustle Show have put together this cool free 60-second quiz to help you do just that. All you got to do is go to hustle.show. You can do it right from your phone. Answer a few short multiple choice questions, and it'll recommend a few episodes of the hit Side Hustle Show podcast to start with. You can add your personalized Side Hustle Show playlist to your device, learn what works, and start making more money today. Again, that's at hustle.show or follow the award-winning Side Hustle Show in your favorite podcast app.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.